Happy Easter and happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers who are out there. Moms are just great. You can't hardly beat mom, you know. So happy Mother's Day. I've heard some Christians, even some Catholics, say it's all about love. And certainly that's true, yet usually whenever I hear this, it's given as a reason, or even the reason, for supporting a friend or a child in some activity that is morally reprehensible. That is, in some activity that really they should not be supported in. What our Lord said was this. This is my commandment, love one another as I love you. Now, he said this during the Last Supper. That's where this particular passage from Sacred Scripture is taken. It's taken from his Last Supper discourse. And when it comes to following instructions, and that's precisely what our Lord did during the Last Supper, if you think that sometimes I'm loquacious, you should read our Lord's Last Supper discourse. It's quite lengthy. But then again, I'm not God, so I guess he's got some rights. In any case, he gave us quite a few instructions at the Last Supper, and when following instructions, details are really important. And our Lord does not instruct us to love in just any old way. Rather, he's quite specific. As I love you. Our Lord was certainly aware that his way of loving was not the only way of loving. If we were to have read just a little bit beyond where this gospel passage ends, the one that we just heard, we would have heard our Lord telling his disciples that the world would love its own, but because you do not belong to the world hates you. So clearly the world has a way of loving, and clearly the world's way of loving is not our Lord's way of loving. The crucial question for us who are trying to follow Christ is, how is it exactly that Christ did love? In answering this question, really, it's important to remember that Christ fulfilled the law always, everywhere, and perfectly. That there are two great commandments to the law of God, which contain the whole of the law. And those two commandments are love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Which means that our Lord, in fulfilling the law always, everywhere, and perfectly, everything that our Lord did was an act of love. And so I think it's helpful for us to take three acts of love by our Lord, things that we might not always consider to be acts of love in themselves, and see what it is that they have to teach us about how it is that we should be loving as our Lord loves us. If we flip back a few chapters in this same gospel, the gospel according to John, our Lord comes to the temple in Jerusalem, and the Pharisees have come to him, and with him they have a woman, and this woman has been caught in the very act of adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. And what do you have to say about her? What does our Lord do in this situation? How is it that our Lord loves in this situation? I think the easy answer would have actually been for him to just say, yeah, the law of Moses said if she gets caught in the act of adultery, stone her. She got caught in the act of adultery, therefore stone her. Yet he doesn't do that at all. Instead, what our Lord does is he shames the Pharisees into going away. That's part one. And when no one remains to condemn her, Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and do not sin anymore. This is authentic love. Our Lord does not condemn her for her sin, but neither does he leave her in that sin. To leave her in sin would be to confirm that sin, but instead he commands her not to do it again. You know, he shows us clearly what it means to love the person and not the sin. To love like Christ means to do likewise. To love like Christ means to love sinners while at the same time not condoning their actions. And sometimes it's painful for us not to condone the actions of those whom we love. Certainly I've met parents who struggle with these sorts of things with their children. Then as a second example of a somewhat surprising way that our Lord loves, there is, just a few chapters prior to the woman caught in adultery, there is the Samaritan woman at the well. And this really is a fascinating example of our Lord loving. When she asks Jesus for the water of eternal life, which he's just told her about, he tells her to go and call her husband. And she responds, "I do not have a husband." And Jesus answered her, "You're right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband." Ouch. Talk about calling someone out. I guess it's really not a good idea to try to deceive God. Yeah, because he'll call you out. Our Lord's not afraid of the truth. And he knows best that the truth and love cannot be separated. And he's not afraid to speak the truth to this woman, not just the truth in general, but the truth about her life. You have had five husbands, and the man you're with now is not your husband. It's important to note, he speaks the truth about her life in the context of a conversation which I haven't recounted to you in full because I don't want to spend that much time on it. He doesn't just get out the 20-pound sledgehammer of truth and beat the poor woman to a pulp with it, but neither does he ignore the truth and just sort of follow along with wherever it is that the wind happens to take him. There are times when really we have to stand up for truth out of love for someone else. We don't have to be mean or rude about it, certainly, and actually we shouldn't be mean or rude about it, but to simply say when things are wrong. You know, "Hey, Junior, you and Susie are living together and you're not married. I dearly love you. However, you need to knock that off because you know better." You know, we can't separate the truth of someone's sin from the love that we have to have them. True love calls a person out of their sin. True love calls a person forward and into love of God, into a deeper relationship with Christ Jesus. And sin is the thing that's directly opposed to that deeper love and to that relationship with Christ Jesus. I told the kids who are preparing for confirmation here in this parish, which will be next week at the 10:30 Mass, I told those kids that I had received an email from someone, and he'll remain, and honestly, I don't even remember who it was. And this person said, "Hey, Father, I was in church the other day trying to pray, and you were talking fairly loudly, and I hope that you received this well, but you know, you really shouldn't be talking in church." And, you know, he was 100% right. And really, it was a genuine, authentic act of love for him to send me an email and say, "Hey, quit talking in church. I'm trying to pray. The church is for prayer. It's not a social hall." He's 100% right. And it was a genuine act of love. And I responded and said, "Hey, thanks so much for calling me forward. You're 100% right. I'm sorry. I won't do it again." The final example of our Lord showing us what it is to love. You know, our Lord was perfectly innocent. And I think it's so difficult for us to grasp what it means to be perfectly innocent. He never did a single thing wrong in all of his life, not even the slightest offense. Yet they brutally flogged him, they dressed him as a king, they crowned him with thorns, they mocked him, and they made him carry a cross. Then they came to the place of the skull, Golgotha, and they crucified our Lord between two criminals. And then they jeered at him. And Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Our Lord, even having been treated horribly, having been perfectly innocent, prays for his enemies. I think it's honestly one of the most authentic acts of love that we can possibly do, to pray for our enemies, to pray for the conversion and salvation of those who have hurt us. That's what it means to love as our Lord loved us. He came when we weren't deserving of it and paid the price for our sins because he loves us. And when we do likewise, when we pray and even do penance for those who have hurt us, for those who have wronged us, and the deeper, the more authentic it is an act of love. That is what it means to love as Christ has loved us. I would give a conclusion, an exhortation to go and do likewise, but I don't think that's necessary. This command I leave you with, love one another as Christ has loved you. God love you all and keep the faith.